Well, Happy New Year. All these years that I've been in lectionary-based and liturgically-based churches, that still just makes me happy to be able to say that at these odd times compared to the calendar. But here we are, starting a new church year, and beginning, as always, with Advent, and beginning with the Sunday of hope. And what could be better than that? We all need hope. I've heard it said, and I think it's true, that we can't live without hope, that the truly hopeless just wither away and die. Whether I can prove that or not, I don't know. But it seems to be the case that even if you continue to live, it's more of an existence, if you have no hope, no reason to look forward. Well, the lectionary, of course, always tries to pick up on the various themes of the year, and so I was looking at our texts, and some of them are very straightforward. In Jeremiah, we see the prophet's words to the people who are in an extremely disagreeable time, that there's reason to hope. Jeremiah is saying to them that no matter what it looks like, good is coming. No matter what it looks like, once again there will be a king, and not just any king, but a king from the line of David, just like I promised. Not saying that everything is going to be fixed overnight, but he's saying look forward in hope. We look at our Thessalonians reading this morning, and Paul, writing to the church that he planted there, talks about his own hope that he'll be able to come back and continue to fill in the gaps of their understanding of God and what this new relationship they have with God through Jesus means. And he hopes that our God and Father will make Jesus clear to them, make their love increase and overflow, strengthen your heart so you'll be blameless and holy. He's talking about the future. He's talking about hope and talking about the good things that he wants for these people. And then we come to Jesus' words in Luke. Seems an odd sort of way to give people some hope, to begin by talking about how impossibly awful it's going to be in the near future. The New International Version, as I've said before, has often helpful little section headings. They're not part of the actual text, but they're helpful for us. And this whole section is signs of the end of the age. And by the way, those signs tend not to be very good. And so here we are on the first Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of hope. We're told about there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. Nations will be in anguish. People are going to faint just from seeing what's happening and what's going to happen next. Not particularly hopeful, really. Going to see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, when things are so awful that when you turn on the television, make sure you're sitting down because you might just pass out, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is near. Jesus says that just because things get worse, that's not the last word on what happens. And then he tells a parable, and I don't really know that I'd call it a parable. It's more an observation from nature with at least some other applications attached to it. And he says that when trees sprout leaves, we know summer's coming. In the same way that when the leaves fall off, we know that fall is here and that winter's on its way. We know these things, and these things happen, and then it goes on. He says, when you see these things happening, going back to this long list of unpleasant things, he says, you know that the kingdom of God is near. And then he says something peculiar, and the translations that we have really don't help us any, so this will be my one beef about translation, hopefully for, well, at least the rest of this calendar year, and maybe the whole church year. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. And there tends to be a little text note, a footnote, saying that what that could also be translated as is race. So be careful. I tell you the truth, this race will certainly not... Well, that is how it should be translated. Generation just causes problems. Jesus is not saying that the people who were alive then would see this before they died. What Jesus is saying, hearkening back to Noah, is that this is going to be bad. It's going to be really bad, but not so bad that the human race is extinguished from the earth. He's saying that there will always be a witness. There will always be people ready for his return. Now, we could get hung up on the return, and many people do, and I consider it, as hobbies go, it's perfectly harmless, and you're welcome to it. But trying to figure out exactly when Jesus is going to come back and exactly what it looks like and exactly what it means for me and for you is difficult to pin down. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It just means that the Bible, which is tremendously clear on many things, isn't particularly clear on this one. The things that the Bible's clear on are the things that we all agree on. It doesn't matter whether you're a Pentecostal or a Presbyterian. It doesn't matter if you're a Catholic or a Greek Orthodox or a Protestant. There's a bunch of things we agree on. Jesus is the Son of God. There's no question about that. We all agree on that. And so we can move on from there. But some of these things are kind of problematic, like what the end of everything is going to look like, which, as I'm sure you might even be tired of me saying it by now, that when that happens, whenever that is and whatever it looks like, it'll be pretty clear at that point. But what Jesus is saying here is not so much, here's a checklist for you to pay attention to and check all these things off, and then you'll know I'm on my way back. It's saying that no matter what happens, you need to remember that I'm coming back, that you're not abandoned, and that yes, it may seem like a long time, and yes, it may seem like it's too long, but it's not. Every so often, we look at these passages and we think, well, I can see how someone in the Middle Ages would think that things were getting worse, but what about us? Everything's getting better. Well, it sort of depends on how you're looking at it, and I don't for a second want to dismiss the wondrous things that we have in our culture, our civilization, in our world. But let's not forget that even as we are living longer and healthier lives, we see more relationships destroyed, we see more divorce, we see more difficulties of that kind than we've ever seen before. That we have access to more information now than ever before, but we also seem to have more addictions, more problems with abuse, all kinds of things. It's a mixed bag being a human living in a fallen world. And we rejoice in the good things that we have, but we can't let the good things we have blind us to the reality that it is a fallen world. And that as some things get better, some things get worse. Our connection to our extended family, for most of us, is non-existent compared to what it was like two or three generations ago. And we've lost that richness that comes with a sense of connectedness to family and to place. We've replaced it with other things that we enjoy and all the rest of it, but these are some of the things that Jesus could be alluding to when he talks about signs of the end of the age. It's not easy to look at some of the end times statements of Jesus or of John in the book of Revelation, Daniel in his book of prophecy, and try and figure out exactly what they mean. And we're back into, I think, more of the hobbyist view of it all. Because we frequently can't figure out exactly what these things mean. And the fact that we can't, and the fact that after several thousand years of church history, we still can't, suggests to me that we don't really need to. And rather than getting hung up on the actual, this is what this flying thing is, I think we're better off looking at these messages as messages of hope. For those of you who came of age in the church, the evangelical church in the late 60s and early 70s, it's hard to look at these things with anything other than terror. Movies like Thief in the Night, some of Hal Lindsey's books just frightened the liver out of me. and didn't seem to accomplish what I think they need to accomplish. And the reason why they didn't get it, or why I didn't get it, is because in those opportunities I didn't see the message of hope. Because these are messages of hope, saying that things are going to perhaps go worse than you can imagine, but you're not alone. I haven't left you behind. I haven't forgotten about you. Jesus says over and over and over again, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Things could very easily get bad in a way that is exactly like what we read. I don't know. I suspect not. Things are bad now, if you want to look for what's bad. And we talked about this last week or two, about how if you're looking for bad, you'll find it. If you're looking for good, you'll find it. They're both there. But when we look at what's bad, we need to look at it from the perspective of hope. I love the fact that the church year starts with the Sunday of hope. Because for those of us who interact with the world, if we're not sunny and optimistic people by our very personality, we will frequently see things that, if we're not careful, will lead us to despair, perhaps even hopelessness. And Jesus says, no. He says, these things are going to happen, but I'm coming. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness and the anxieties of life, and the day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. If you zero in on only what's wrong with the world, you're probably going to try and deal with that somehow. And we tend to deal with it as a culture in addictive behaviors of one kind or another. Whether it's the obvious ones of substance abuse or of the addiction of busyness, addiction of television, whatever it might be. Jesus says, no, don't do that. He says, it's going to come on everybody who's here. Hiding from it won't help. Look instead ahead with hope. Because Jesus says, he's coming back. And when he comes back, this is all going to make sense in a way that it doesn't now. The people of Israel needed that message of hope. When Jeremiah wrote, because everywhere they looked, everything had been turned upside down. For those of us who are old enough to remember at least the veneer of religiosity in Canada, does it sometimes not seem like we've been turned upside down? That we're having fights over whether that's a Christmas tree, or a holiday tree, or an idol, or whatever else it is? And whether you like some of the denial we lived in 40, 50 years ago or not, at least it was different. And now we're in this world that seems almost, let's see. Well, it is. The world is fundamentally broken. That's what the fall means. But it doesn't mean that we're irreparable. It means that in our relationship with God through Jesus, we will work through what's coming, no matter how awful it might seem, no matter how frightening it is, even if it makes us faint. Because we have the hope of Christ within us. We have the sure knowledge, the witness of Scripture and of church history is that we are not alone. We have not been forgotten. Who knows what we'll walk through in the next days or weeks, months, years, whatever it is. We don't know the future. It's frustrating for some of us, but that's just the way it is. We don't know the future. We know some things. The sun's coming up tomorrow. We know that. Other than that, it's a bit of a blank. But Jesus is with us. No matter what comes, Jesus is with us. That's the message of Advent. That's the message of hope. That's why he came. It's to say, see, first of all, I'm going to come here. I'm going to experience everything you do so that you will know beyond the slightest shadow of a doubt that I understand what you're going through. And then when the time is right, I'll come back. And the struggles that we have from the simple as the achy knees that we get the older we get, to the profound suffering in the world will be taken care of. And that, to me, is hope. That keeps me going. The fact that I don't know what day it is, what day that's going to happen, when exactly Christ is coming back, what exactly it looks like, that doesn't matter. Because I don't need to know the exact shape of hope to look forward to it. Because I know in whom I'm hoping. Last night, Heather and I went to a concert. Musica Sacra. It's a concert series at Campion College. And several days before that, Heather said, we're going out on Saturday. And I said, oh, where are we going? She said, well, it's a surprise. I looked forward to that from the moment I found out about it. Not because I knew what was going to happen. I didn't have any idea what was going to happen. But because when Heather says we're going somewhere for a surprise, it's not going to be a root canal. It's not going to be something that she knows I don't like. It's not even going to be something that she has no idea what I'm going to like it or not. She knows it's going to be something that I enjoy. And we had a wonderful time. We met Heather's mom and dad, met some old friends there who I hadn't seen for a long time, had a chance to chat, and were treated to just a glorious evening of music about Advent. It was wonderful. It couldn't have been better. That's hope. And that's hope in a person who, and I don't think she'll mind me saying this, has occasionally let me down, just like I've let her down, because we're people. The hope we have in Jesus isn't in someone who will ever let us down. We begin the church year with hope, because with hope we can do anything. We can go through anything. We can endure anything, as long as we have hope. And our hope isn't in a system. Our hope isn't in a denomination. Our hope's not in a fallen human. But it's in Jesus, who through the mystery of the incarnation, fully God, fully human, understands everything we go through and ever will go through, and says, I will be with you, no matter what. A message of hope is one that we can always use, and I'm glad the church year brings us back to hope every single year. So we begin the church year with hope. We begin the Advent season with hope. And we take an opportunity once again to look at the ground of our hope, which is Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.